Matthew chapter number 21. Matthew chapter number 21.
And so if you'll give us a few minutes this morning, and I just pray the Lord would speak to our hearts, we'll try to give you what the Lord has given unto us from the Word of God. And I hope it'll be a blessing, and I hope it'll be a help to us. And of course, we realize it is Father's Day. Matthew chapter number 21. I'll give you just a moment to turn there. If you've got a Scofield Bible, it's page 1029. We're going to be reading from this morning. And we're going to read verses 28 through verse number 31. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Matthew chapter 21, verse number 28. The Bible said, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, 'Likewise.' And he answered and said, 'I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father?' They say unto him, 'The first.' Jesus saith unto them, 'Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you.'" Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for letting us be here today, for all the many blessings you've given us, for the good Vacation Bible School, Lord, all the work that went into it. I appreciate so much your blessing upon what was done. Lord, there's no doubt some that went away this week and maybe you spoke to their heart about their salvation and they didn't do anything about it. They didn't respond. Lord, I pray you'd continue to work in hearts, and I pray that the seed of the Word of God would grow and bring forth fruit unto eternal life. Lord, we do pray for that. Thank you for those that were saved. Lord, we pray for the families that are grieving today. Lord, we pray for them. We pray for those that are sick. Lord, we thank you for each and every one that's here today. I pray for your help. I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Thank you for our fathers. Lord, help us to be the sons and the daughters that we ought to be unto thee. Lord, have your way this morning. We'll thank you for all you do. We ask for your help, and we ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, let's read verse number 28 one more time and we'll get started this morning. The Bible said, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.'" And this is a passage of scripture in the Bible that over the years I've looked at different times. I've wanted to preach on, I've studied about it, I've thought about it, but it's one of those passages of scripture in the Bible that you know there's a message there. You know there's something there, but it's like a couple of pieces of the puzzle or just not come into place yet. Or maybe the picture's just a little bit fuzzy. I've looked at it over the years, different times. I've thought, boy, there's something in there. I'd like to learn that. I'd like to find that out. I'd like to try to preach on that sometime, these two sons. Now, the primary interpretation of it is the lesson of it is directed to the priest and the elders. If you look back in verse number 23, the Bible said over there, "And when he was come into the temple, the chief priest and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, 'By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority?'" And so the chief priest and the elders, they come to the Lord Jesus Christ and they said, "Who give you the authority to do this? Why are you able to do this? By whose authority are you operating under?" And so they were questioning his authority. It said in verse number 23, "And who gave thee, or by what authority doest thou these things?" The things that the Lord Jesus Christ was doing. Who gave him authority to do these things? And the Lord Jesus makes the application to them. It applies to them. This parable of the two sons was for them. Verse number 31, the middle of the verse, Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. So Jesus was comparing these religious leaders, the elders and the chief priest, and he was applying this passage of scripture to them. And he was saying the publicans and the harlots are the ones that are doing the will of God. They went in the kingdom before you. You seen the works of John. You didn't repent. You still did not believe. So that's the primary application. That's the lesson that we have here. But there's more to it. It's one of those, you know, that I see that's what's going on. But still, there's a message there. There's a lesson for us. And I want us to look at this today. I want you to look at verse number 28, what the Bible says there. Just the first sentence, the Lord Jesus, but what think ye? But what think ye? The words, the lesson here, this parable of the two sons, it is designed to make us think. And you know, we need to think about things, don't we? I think many times we go through life and we don't take the time to think about things like we ought to. So the words, the lesson of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's all designed to get us to think. Even though we're not the chief priests, we're not the elders, we could say, well, that doesn't apply to us, but you know, all the Word of God applies to us. I mean, there's a lesson there. It's there. It's to be profitable unto us for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So I want to try this morning with the help of the Lord. I want to try to preach on the subject, which son are you? Which son are you? And I want to show you some things out of this passage of Scripture. First of all, thinking about which son are you? Number one, I want you to see the Father's requirement. Now, look in verse number 28. What did the Father require or ask of these two sons? Verse 28, but what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. So this is a father making appeal to his two sons. He went to one son and he asked him a question, and he went to the second son. He said likewise. So he asked him the same question. This is a father. He had two sons. First of all, there's the who of his requirement. The who of his requirement. A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son. He came to the first and said, Son. Now this father in this passage of Scripture, he's not asking a favor from a neighbor, is he? He didn't go across the fence and ask somebody to do something for him. He went to his son and he asked him to do something for him. There's a difference there. This father is not going down in the vineyard and hiring some hired labor to come and to work in his vineyard. There's a difference there. That's not who he's asking. He went to his son and he said, Son. He's not asking a cousin. He's not asking a nephew to go and do something for him. But the who of his requirement, this is applied to his son. John chapter 1 verse number 12 said, But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. If you are saved today by the grace of God, you have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a child of God. That's what the Bible says. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. So you have a title. If you're saved by the grace of God, that makes you a son of God. If you're saved, you say, well, I'm a girl, I'm a lady. Well, you're a daughter of the Lord. We're the sons and the daughters of the Lord. And the sons and the daughters of the Lord, we ought to obey the Lord when he asks us to do something. We ought to obey not out of compulsion. Now, when you compel somebody, you just about have to threaten them sometimes. You have to put some force behind it. But when our Father asks us to do something, we ought to want to obey Him out of love. Just because of who He is. Just because of what He's done for us, we ought to serve Him out of love. So it means something that the Father went to the Son and He said, Son, that's a special relationship. And so we're not hired servants of the Lord. We're saved by the grace of God. We're His sons. We're His daughters. We are His children. We have a special relationship. There's the who of His requirement. Second of all, there's the what of His requirement. What did He want? Verse number 28. He said, Son, go work. Son, go work. The Father today is interested in His work that He has. He's interested in work. And I'm glad to tell you this morning that the Lord is not asking us to do anything that He was not willing to do His own self. Do you know that? It's not like the Lord is asking us to do something that He wouldn't do. But He is asking us today to work in the field, in the vineyard that He has worked in His own self. You know, I was reading this morning John chapter number 4. And verse number 34, the Bible says over there, Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. The Lord Jesus was interested in fulfilling and finishing the work that the Father had sent Him to do. Verse number 35, Jesus said, Say not ye there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. He said, I want you to go work in the field, work in the harvest with me as I work together. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 37, the Bible said the fields are, once again, talking about the harvest. He said that the laborers are few. We don't have too many people working in the harvest. There's always more room for the work that is to be done in the field. And so the Bible said, Son, go work. Then there's the when of His harvest. I'm just trying to lay some foundation this morning. Look what He said. Son, go work. When do you want the work done? Today. You can underline these things in your Bible. That'll help you later on. Son, go work today. The work of the Father is urgent work. It's work that needs to be done right now. Jesus said in John chapter 9, verse 4, He said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can work. Working days is going to run out one of these days. And it'll be too late to do the work that needs to be done. Son, go work today is what the Lord Jesus said. I remember, I was thinking about this. I remember it's been about 23 years ago that I got out of the United States Air Force. And I remember after the first Gulf War, when it was winding down, they couldn't get rid of people fast enough. They had a big drawdown. And God had called me to preach, but I was still obligated for another year or two with Uncle Sam. And the war was over, and they got to draw, they called it a drawdown, kicking people out or letting people get out, maybe not kicking them out, but letting people out. And I remember I was praying, Lord, I want to do what You want me to do, but I'm still in the military. I'm tied up. Took a lot of my time. I didn't feel like I was where the Lord wanted me to be. And I remember they came to me and they said, would you like to get out early? I said, boy, would I. It was urgent. It was urgent work that I get busy doing what God had called me to do. Souls were at stake. Time is of the essence. Lives are at stake. And that's how it is in the Lord's work. It's urgent business. I remember reading over there about David and he had went away and very quickly, and he met with the high priest, and he had left so quickly he didn't have his sword with him. And it said in 1 Samuel 21:28, David said that he went out like that because the king's business required haste. And it's still the same today. The king's business requires haste. The fields are white unto harvest. It's what the Bible says. I think I've told you this before. But when I lived out in Idaho, I was going fishing with my neighbor. He's a Mormon. They were a family of farmers and dairy farmers, and they had wheat and all things like that. And we were riding by a wheat field, and he said, "Boy," he said, "somebody better get into that." He said, "It's about to go bad." I said, "How can you tell when it's about to go bad?" He said, "It almost turned white." So I thought to myself, that's what the Bible says. Jesus said the fields are white unto harvest. It's harvest time is just about to get gone. We better get busy in the work of the Lord. Jesus said today, "Son, go work today." 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 2 says, "Behold, now is the day of salvation." Today. Today. When ought people to be saved? If the Spirit of God's dealing with their heart, they ought to get saved today. Today is the day of salvation. Time is quickly getting gone, isn't it? It amazes me how quickly time gets by. Today, he said. That's the when of his requirement. Number four, there's the where of his requirement. He said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." Where's the Lord want us to work? In his vineyard. Do you know the Lord is in the vineyard business? The Lord is in the farming business. Mark chapter 13, verse number 2, I believe it is, talking about the parable of the sower and the seed. And he said, "The field is the world." The field is the world. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." The Lord's in the fishing business as well. He went by the disciples and he said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." And there's a work to be done out there. In the vineyard, in the fields, in the seas, all round about us, we are surrounded by lost humanity dying and going to hell. So there's plenty. You don't have to go to Africa to find lost people. You don't have to go to Asia. You don't have to go to the Philippines to find lost people. You don't have to go far. I guarantee all of us could go within a short distance of wherever we live, we'd find the lost. That's our vineyard. Where you shop, where you go to school at, there's the vineyard. That's the vineyard that the Lord desires that you and I would work in, be busy in. So it's not much for a father to ask his sons to work in his vineyard. Amen. That's the family business, is it not? The Lord wants us to be involved in the family business. There's the requirement of the father. Second of all, there's the son's reply. Now this is where it gets interesting to me. There's the reply of the sons. I'm just going to call them number one son, number two son. Because that's what the Lord called them. He said went to one and he went to the second. So he had two sons, the Bible said. Number one said in verse number 29, he answered and said, "I will not." That's what he said. The number one son, the first son that he went to and said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." He just simply said, "I will not." He said, "Sorry, Dad, but your will and my will are not the same. What you want done and what I want done are two different things." This son was selfish. This son was self-centered, and at the plain command of his father, he just simply said no. Can you imagine that? "I'm not going to do it. Son, will you go work today in my vineyard?" He said no. Hey, he didn't just say no. He said, "I will not." To me, that's even a little bit stronger than no. He didn't say no, not today. He didn't say, "I can't right now, but I'll think about it." He didn't say maybe later on this week. He just said, "I will not." He said, Father, I don't have any interest in your business. He's very self-centered in his reply. After all that his father had done for him, he just simply said, no, I will not do that. You know, I was thinking about this. It's Father's Day weekend. And for the past several years now, we have gone with my brother, my dad, my son, my brother, myself. We go to the drag race over at Bristol. That's the only thing we do together just about throughout the whole year. And we started going. Noah said yesterday, he said it's almost become a tradition. We've done it now. Yesterday was my second year, and they went about 4 or 5 years together. And we went over there yesterday. And we went over there yesterday, and it was hot. My goodness. I had all kinds of things I needed to be doing. You know, we've had vacation Bible school this week, but we went to be together and spend a little bit of time. So we got up before the crack of dawn. We went over, sat and baked in the hot sun all day, came, rushed back home, got ready. You know, some of us left a little early. I knew I had to preach today. I wasn't ready. I wasn't settled on it. And, it, you know, really? It's just hard to enjoy it. It's hard for me to enjoy it. And that's the way it is a lot of times in life. We just rush, 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 run, 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 try to do a little bit. You can't even enjoy it because you're in such a rush. And I was thinking last night, the only way I could really enjoy something like that would be to take your time and do it properly. Now, some of them people, they'd made a profession out of doing that thing properly. We are sitting down there in the stands, baking in the hot sun. But I looked up on the other side of the valley over there, and some people had their campers parked right up. Boy, they had, you talk about a view of the whole thing. And I was talking with my cousin there. I said, don't you guess they're up there having a good time? And they had tents and campers, and they was cooking out, and they could go into air conditioning, probably watch it on HDTV if they wanted to. They'd probably rolled in about Thursday sometime, watch qualifying Friday, watch what they wanted to on Saturday. They'll spend the night. They'll be over there today. They'll get to see the end of it, who wins, and all of that stuff. And I thought to myself, that would be the only way to enjoy something like that. I mean, just really take your time. But I'll tell you what, if I did that, I'd have to have a camper. Knowing me, I'd want a drag car. Wouldn't some of you men like to have just one time? Just, boy, wouldn't that be fun? 300 miles an hour. I mean, it just vibrates your whole body, rattles your head when they drive by. Man, wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't that be fun to go around, follow NASCAR, go to baseball games? Some people follow the football team, wherever the football team goes. I mean, all fall long, that's all they do is follow the football team around. Just go out and have a good time. But you know what? If I did that, I couldn't do my father's business. If I was as dedicated to that as some people are dedicated to leisure and sports and activity and things, if I did that, I couldn't be about my father's business. And let me tell you something, it's going to be one or the other, but it'll not be both. And this son here said, I'd rather do something else. You know, that's what the Bible says. Matthew chapter number 6, verse 24. It says over there, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You just can't do it. You can't do it. You can pretend like you're doing it, but you can't do it. They's advertising yesterday, they's going to have a cool, non-denominational church service this morning at 9 o'clock, and you didn't have to, that's what the guy said, I promise you. He said, why don't you mix it up a little bit this Sunday? He said, the NHRA's in town, come on down, come to our cool, that's what he said, non-denominational church service. Now, I'm glad they're doing something. But you cannot serve two masters. You can't do it. You can act like you are. You can pretend that you are. But Jesus didn't die for the drag strip. He died for the church. That's what the Bible said. You can't serve two masters. And this son, at least you got to give him. You got to give him credit. He at least just was honest about it. And he just said, I will not. I'm going to do something else. That's his reply. But number two son said in verse number 30, now like this, he said, and he came to the second and said, likewise. That means he said the same thing. Son, go work today in my vineyard. He said likewise, verse number 30. And he answered and said, I go, sir. That's what he said. That was his reply. I go, sir. And this son in his reply, you can tell that he has concern. He has respect for the Father and His will and what He wants done. And I like his answer. And all of you fathers, you would like for your son, when you ask him to do something, for him to say, yes, sir. I'll get right on that. That's what he said. That was his attitude. That's what he did. And so we appreciate the attitude that he had. Well, that puts number one to shame. Number one said, I will not. Number two said, I go, sir. Yes, sir, buddy, I'm going to do that. What you want me to do, I'm going to do. But wait a minute, that's not the end of the story. And Jesus said in verse number 28 about these two sons, he said, but what think ye? Let's think about this. And then he told about the two sons. And he said in verse number 31, he said, whether of them twain did the will of his father? Which one did the will of his father? And I'll show you the last thing this morning. There's the son's reaction. Now, we just saw the son's reply and what they said. But what really matters this morning is the son's reaction. Not just what they said, but what they did. That's what's important. The son's reaction. Number one, let me say this about number one. Number one, repented. Look in verse number 29. And he answered and said, I will not, but. That makes a difference. But afterwards, the Bible said, or afterward, he repented and went. So this son, at first he said, I will not, but in the afterthought, he got to thinking about that, and he said to himself, you know what? What I had planned really is not that important. Have you ever been there in your life? Maybe God was dealing with your heart about doing something, and you had in your mind, you had in your heart, well, I want to do this, I want to do this, but after a while, you came to the realization, what I want's not really that important. What I've set my hopes and my dreams and my desires, what I've spent my time, what I've spent my money, what I've spent my effort on, it's really not going to amount to nothing in eternity. And that boy got to thinking about that. What I want to do, it really doesn't matter that much. And after all, boy, Daddy sure has been good to me. Dad's taken care of me all these years. Dad's put up with my nonsense all these years. Dad's always provided for us. Daddy's always loved us. Daddy's always been there for us. And what Daddy's asking of me is not that much. And he said, I believe I need to go and do what my daddy asked me to do. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says in verse number 29. He repented and went. It's what the Bible says. You know what? Before anybody really does the work of God, Before anybody really does the work of the Lord, they're going to have to repent. Because the work of the Lord is not work that appeals to us physically speaking. It's a spiritual work. And spiritual work has to be done in a spiritual mindset or it's not worth anything. Oh, I don't want to do Bible school. I don't know how. Now, how many had them thoughts run through your mind a week ago? What have I got myself into? I don't need to. Somebody else needs to be. And you about talked yourself out of the blessing before you even got started. You ever been there? But now that the week's over and the work's been done, I don't think anybody would stand up and say that. They'd stand up and say, you know what, I'm glad. I'm glad I done what I done. I'm glad I was involved. I was glad to see the children. It's a lot of work, and there's a lot has to be done, but praise the Lord, there's some souls got saved. You was involved in that, had a little part in that. Praise the Lord. Somebody's life got changed for all of eternity, and you had a part in it. Ought to be shouting, praising God this morning. Praise the Lord. That's hard work, but that's worth something. That's spiritual work. Spiritual work does not appeal to our flesh. Our flesh says, no, I don't want to. And in order to do the work of God right, you got to repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I was just thinking about myself. I want to do what you want me to do. Help. That's why I prayed last week. And maybe you didn't notice it. But I prayed several times this prayer. Lord, help us to have joy in the work of the Lord. Help us to have joy in the work of the Lord. This is a good work, and it's worth going to. And he did. He repented, and the Bible said that he went. Verse number 29. But then number 2, he relented. Number 1, repented and went. Number 2, relented and went not. Look at verse 30 again. He came the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Now on second thought, this second son, he said he had the good attitude, he had the right answer. His words are smooth as butter. Son, will you go? I go, sir. Probably saluted him, done an about face, acted like he's going to go right off and get to work. But on second thought, he said, I know I said I was going to go, but there's plenty of help down there. Wonder what went through his mind. I don't know why Daddy always asked me to go down there. Somebody else can do that. Somebody else can take my place. They don't need me. Let somebody else take a turn. I always go. I don't know what went through his mind, but surely some of those things did. The Bible said this son went not. He made an empty profession is what he did. It's easy to get people to say, I'll go. When it comes right down to time to going, when it comes right down to time to doing, that's when the rubber meets the road. Over in Jude verse number 12, it talks about the empty professions. And it says about them clouds, they are without water. Last week before it rained and we needed some rain, there's a couple of days there, it got real cloudy, it got real dark. I thought, Lord, we need some rain. And it just passed right by. I felt a couple of drops one day, and it just went right on by. And I thought about that in Jude. Clouds, they are empty promises. Got our hopes up. But it didn't amount to anything. There's a lot of people in church down through the years, that's how they are. Got our hopes up. They made some big promises. They said some big things that needed to be done and that they were going to do. But when it come right down to the doing, it's just an empty profession. Now, our Sunday school lesson, right along the same lines. Faith without works is dead. That's what the Bible says. We can say a whole lot of things, but if there's no do attached to it, it doesn't amount to a thing. And the son that did the will of his father was actually the first son. Even though he said, I will not go to begin with, he repented. and he went. It's what the Bible says. So we're preaching this morning on the subject, which son are you? Maybe you're here today and you're so busy with you and the things you want to do and that you're involved in, and you've got no time for the Lord in your life after all that he's done for you. You know what you ought to do? You ought to repent. You ought to repent. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? I don't know in your life, but you do. The Holy Ghost of God does. What you're involved in that you're wasting time and effort and life on, and there's spiritual work that needs to be done, you ought to repent. Do the work of your Father. Do what the Lord wants you to do. Or maybe you're like this second son, and in his life, I can imagine that at once upon a time, he said, Lord, I surrender all. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. I want to go for you. I want to do for you. I want to be used of you. But you know that wore off. And you never did go and you never did do. But you told the Lord you would once upon a time. You ever been there? You ever done that? Lord, if you'll get me out of this mess, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I know people bargain with God. I know people promise the Lord things. Lord, if you'll help me this one time, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Did the Lord help you? Did you do what you said you was going to do? That's how this son was. I go, sir. I surrender all, but the Bible says that he went not. You know what he needs to do? He needs to repent. He needs to do what he told his father that he was going to do. What think ye? Which son are you? I'd like for us today to have our heads bowed, to have our eyes closed.